What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Stand Up Podcast. My name is Ol' Ben Kimsel. And my technically, I'm like the co. I feel like you're like the host, and I'm like the co-host, but we're not co-co-hosts.
I think this is like an equal identity partnership here.
Well, so I'm Ol' Ben Kimsel, and this is my co-host,
Ol' Jack.
Oh, man.
I was trying to think of something quippy there. That wasn't quite, you know, it wasn't that original. It wasn't original at all.
Well, it was as original as what I said, which was not very original. So we're just not very original. That's fine.
Hey, don't speak that over me.
Sorry. I'm not original. Well, hey, welcome to the Stand Up Podcast. We are glad that you are joining us. We've got a really special episode today. Very excited for you to get the opportunity to hear from a very brilliant and professional mind.
That's
so
right.
So Jack, why don't you let people know who we're going to be talking with today?
Yeah, we are going to be talking with Tim Schurer, and I say that with emphasis because his name seems like it would read Schurer, but I confirmed with him on the podcast it is just Schurer. Yeah, so it was funny, the way he said it when I talked to him about it was as if he wasn't exactly sure if it was like any different than Schurer, but it's always been called Schurer, so they go with Schurer. Anyway, we got Tim Schurer. We tell impossible without Jesus stories to help people rediscover the world-changing faith they started with. And Tim is a Jesus guy. He loves Jesus, but he also is a really successful business guy and has a whole other spin, whole other camera angle take than a lot of the guests that we have on here, which is great because we really, one of the things that we try really hard to do is give you different camera angles, people with different walks of life, but same Jesus, impossible without Jesus stories. And so wanted to give you a little bit of his bio because Tim is releasing a book on May 17th, and every single one of you should go get that because it's about success, but maybe in a way that you have never thought about it before. And in large part, I would just snap on to everything he said in this and say that success starts with the way that Jesus did it, and it starts with serving, just to give you a little quip into that. But Tim Schurer knows what it takes to build a winning team. He spent almost a decade of his career launching two brands, one of those being Story Brand and Business Made Simple, both of those with Donald Miller, who is a New York Times best-selling author, as many of you guys have probably read some of his books like Blue Like Jazz or Business Made Simple or Story Brand, several other books that he's written. Before that, Tim worked at Tom's as well as at Apple, which this guy's just a champ.
Yeah, he's awesome. Done everything.
He's awesome. Done it all, man. I've worked at Tom's and Apple.
In your dreams.
In my dreams last night. He is the host of Build a Winning Team podcast, where he offers listeners actionable advice as he interviews some of the top leaders in business. Tim lives in Nashville, Tennessee, and with his wife, Katie, and their two children. And I love Tim. Love getting to jump on this interview with him, and I'm quite certain all of you are going to love it just as much as I did. So with that being said, let's dive in. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Stand Up Podcast. I am Jack Diven, and I'm here with my friend Tim. I meant to ask you this beforehand, but we're not going to edit it out. Is it Schurer?
I usually, anytime I've been in a restaurant my entire life, we just say S-U-R-E. Sure. It's just easier for people.
That's funny because that's four letters, but your name is actually like nine or something like that. So, man, that's great. So Tim Schurer is on with me today. We're new friends, but so excited to have you on here. I was telling Tim this before for all that you guys are listening, but I look up to him so much, just inherently. Don't know anything much about his story other than a couple things that I'm very envious of. One of those things is the fact that he's written a book, and he's going to tell us a little bit about that today. But also, he just he not only knows Donald Miller, but he was the CEO in his COO in his company, and I think that's amazing because Donald Miller is a he's just tops, man. He's awesome. So actually, yeah, let's just go there. How'd you get linked up with him, man? How did that happen?
So I worked with Don for almost 10 years, which is wild. What a gift. That guy is one of my favorite communicators. I don't know if there's a better speaker that I've ever seen on stage.
Yeah.
His books, too, have been really impactful in my life. My favorite book, period, is A Million Miles in a Thousand Years.
Okay.
And I don't know if people listening have listened to that book. If you've not, you need to go buy it because it frames up this whole idea around what is a meaningful story look like? What is a good life and a good story? What's the intersection of those two things? And he really takes the concepts of story, what captivates us as a viewer sitting in the movie theater.
Yeah.
When you apply the same elements of story to your life, actually some really beautiful things can happen. And he talks about very early in the book, if we were to go to a movie, and at the very end of the movie, you see a guy who'd worked incredibly hard his entire career, and he's driving off in a Volvo. That's the closing scene, right? That's what the movie was about. Nobody's crying at the end of that movie.
That's right.
And yet so many of us live our lives as though that's the story that we were looking to tell.
Yeah.
And as you could imagine, and we'll get more into this throughout this conversation, the book that I've written is almost a continuation of that thought, which is, what is success? Because so many of us are orienting our lives, our behaviors, the decisions that we make off of that simple definition. And yet we find that maybe we're chasing something that we shouldn't even be chasing. Or worse, we don't even know how influenced we are by this cultural definition of success. And, you know, one of my favorite stories is in Apollo 11. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people know, familiar with Apollo 11. You know, you've got Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin.
That's right.
One small step for man,
giant
leap for mankind. But what a lot of people don't know, there is actually a third astronaut on that mission, and his name was Michael Collins. So here you've got this guy, Michael Collins. The guy Ubers Neil and Buzz to the moon, drops them off so that they can do all the various tasks that they have to do on the moon's surface, while he stays back in the command module and orbits the moon something like 26 times until he gets the ping that these guys are ready to be picked up and brought back to Earth, right? Like, how insane. But what would make it a pretty miserable story is if he were to get back, sit down with the press, and Michael say something like, well, it sure would have been nice to actually walk on the moon. And, you know, acted like a victim, tried to take the spotlight away from the mission as a whole.
Right.
But what's beautiful is that's not at all what happened. In fact, he sits down with the press and talks about how content he was to have had one of those three seats. He was happy to be part of the mission.
Right.
So why is it that to be successful, we feel like we have to step into the spotlight, climb the ladder, be the boss, chase fame, money, and power? Like, is this it? This is success?
Come on, dude.
I've been navigating my life over the last several years, trying to figure out what is it, a life and a career that I really want to be chasing, you know, going back to that Dawn theme from Million Miles, like, what is a good story? What would living a good story look like? I just don't think that's it. And so I've discovered this group of people I call the Secret Society of Success that have shown me a new way to live and a new way to define success that's not these things. And so what I've put down in this book are just all kinds of stories that just show me that maybe the thing that makes us happy isn't walking on the moon. What if it's actually something else instead?
Man, hey, listen, I'm going to give everybody like a quick tip on storytelling if you're into that sort of thing, because I really am. I love stories. So, Tim, You're a crazy good storyteller. I can already tell. I'm sitting here leaning in like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? But he also just leaves us right there on a cliffhanger. He knows we're coming back to it. He's like, okay, what is it? What is secret to success? Dude, you're awesome. I think we're cut from the same cloth, dude. I really do. That is so cool. But man, I'm excited to talk about this topic with you. I actually talked with some students a little bit about this last night, and not using necessarily the word success, but use this idea of living a life that lasts, living a life that has purpose and an eternal value, something like contributing towards something that lasts forever. And so, man, I think, at least for me, and I know that a lot of the people that are listening to this have faith is a part of their story. I know that it's a part of your story. And so, you know, we tell impossible without Jesus stories to help people rediscover the world-changing faith that they started with. That's what we're about. And so I'm interested to hear, because I want to talk about success and I want to talk about your book, but how do those two things work, not work together, but how does that strike you when I talk about like Jesus and impossible without Jesus stories and success? How do those things work together in your mind frame, in your head? And then maybe could you like lead us into some moments in your life where you would say, man, this was impossible without Jesus?
Yeah, so for us to know where to head, we have to know the problem, the thing that we're up against. Mm. And you know, I in the book, I talk about this idea, the spotlight mindset, which I define as this unhealthy desire for attention and recognition.
Wow, yeah.
And you know, this is the world and the environment that we live in. So many of us are caught and trapped in this spotlight mindset, whether we realize it or not. So I just want to talk through a couple of the symptoms of the spotlight mindset. I'm getting to your question.
There's
a bit of a journey to get there, but I'll just kind of explain and walk through a few of the symptoms of the spotlight mindset, because I feel like we need to learn to identify this in our life. And I heard a guy named Tom House say, problem identification is half the solution, right?
Oh, man, yeah.
So, you know, here's one of the symptoms, striving. Do you struggle to find contentment in your life? Does it lead you on a restless pursuit for more?
Wow.
Right? Comparison. Do you wish you were someone else or wonder how your success stacks up against others? Are you jealous in a way that gets in your way? You know, C.S. Lewis talks about comparison is the thief of joy, and he's right.
Yes.
You know? Here's another one. Damaged relationships. Does this chase for money, fame, status trump other things in your life? Are your relationships suffering because of it? And there's a guy I've been pretty influenced by. His name's Michael Hyatt. And yeah, he talks about in one of his book a particular failure he had in his life. So he's given the opportunity to run a division at a book publishing company. And at the time, this particular division was ranked 14th out of 14 in all, you know, significant metrics to the company. Revenue, team morale at the bottom. So he tells the then CEO, give me 3 years, I'm going to turn this thing around. Well, in only 18 months, he turns it around. Yeah. Michael is sitting with a bonus check that he says is larger than his annual salary.
It's the
biggest bonus check he'd ever had, and he couldn't wait to get home, talk to his wife about it. His wife was his biggest fan. He knew she'd be thrilled. So he sits down and gets a pretty interesting response. She actually says, we need to talk. And with tears in her eyes, she says, your five daughters need you now more than ever before. And in fact, I feel like a single parent. So here he was having all this success that he could imagine in the career side.
Wow.
But he was suffering. Like the relationships with the people he cared most about were suffering because of it. So just to close the loop on that Michael story, he actually has written a book called Win at Work and Succeed at Life, talking about what he calls the double win, which is, what if success is these two things living in conjunction with one another, not that you have to choose? So, you know, but the spotlight mindset, the point is, we have to learn to identify this unhealthy desire for attention and recognition in our lives so that we can learn a better path forward, whether it's comparison, striving, you know, damaged relationships. There's just so many ways that it creeps up. So, you know, as I think about this idea of, you know, what is that impossible without Jesus, you know, story? To me, it feels like an impossible without Jesus message for all of us. And it's, are we going to continue living in this way where we're chasing the spotlight, where we are continuing to buy into this idea of more, more, more? You cannot find that contentment and satisfaction. Like, are we going to keep living that way? Or are we going to learn to live in the way of the secret society? And we're learning to live in the tension between these two things. You know, and when I talk about living in the tension, the reality is there's not going to be one day that you're going to wake up and be like, guys, I don't suffer with the spotlight mindset anymore. Like, right. I nailed it. In the same way that you don't wake up and you're like, I'm like Jesus, guys. I did it. You know, nailed it. It's like, no, you don't ever get to that point. You have to learn to live in the tension between, you know, what a life with the spotlight mindset looks like and learning to live in the way of the secret society. So what does it look like to live in the way of the secret society? There is a foundational principle, a common denominator for people in the secret society. It's this idea of service, serving others, helping somebody else win. So where do you think we learned that from?
Come on now, that's so good. Yes.
Right?
Let's go.
So if we actually want to live successful lives, meaningful lives, it looks like service. Mm-hmm. So I'm at this event in 2017, and I hear Andy Stanley speak.
Yeah.
And Andy Stanley, as a lot of people here probably know, is an incredible communicator, pastor. And so he's talking at this event about the event's about purpose. How do we find our purpose? So the world that we live in is very much a consumerism world where everything is being marketed to us through this lens of what's in it for me, right? We're considering buying a particular product. We're always asking, what's in it for me? How is this going to make my life better? But if we actually allow that to creep into our lives, we actually can start to see that spotlight mindset really, you know, coming in, this selfishness, this all about me thing. And what I love about Andy as he's talking about finding our purpose, he says, the what's in it for me, the why am I here, these are the wrong questions. The right question is this: who am I here for?
Wow.
And what I love about that who am I here for question is it requires us to show up and bring all that we have to whatever it is that we're doing. Our skills, our passions, right? Our gifts. But it's a mindset shift.
That's right.
Because we do all of that for the sake of somebody else, to make somebody else's life better, to serve,
yeah.
Right? So for me, this message, I'm writing it through a pretty faith-neutral perspective because this is really a book for the business community, people who are navigating their lives and their careers that may or may not have faith. But isn't it beautiful that really at the foundation, the heart of it, I'm actually teaching a very biblical principle of service.
Well,
and I think if more of us can learn to live in that way, we'll be on a much better path.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that you said, like about, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes before, that really ties in that exact thought that you just said, is that it's really, in a way, all of our impossible without Jesus stories once you get to that service piece, because none of us innately just born with this overt ability to be selfless, to put ourselves aside and serve the people that are around us, to serve humanity, to serve the world. But that is exactly what Jesus did. I was sort of playing around with this idea of service recently and how Jesus did it. But but and then how it applies to us. And I kind of came up with this phrase, is that servants are kings in the kingdom of God. It's it's this idea, like Bob Goff actually talks about this. He says that people should try to cut to the back of the line. And I always thought that was just so brilliant, because if you look at what Jesus did, and this is why it's impossible without him. I know, okay, at least for me, I'm going to speak on behalf of me, but I feel like I have a bead on this for other people too. But I know that without something outside of myself, without the hope of the gospel, the hope of a God that is greater and bigger and better than me, I am not going to get up out of bed every day and think about how I can help others achieve their wildest dreams. But I genuinely ask myself that question all the time. It's because Jesus took on the likeness of a servant, and because he lives inside of me, that I believe that he has empowered me to even think that way. It's like a mindset shift. That is, at least for me, the impossible without Jesus story within this context, is the fact that I am able to cut to the back of the line at times in my life. I think that's why Jesus, when we talk about him, you hear all these names for him, right? You hear all these names. And I think that's one of the things that when you hear people talk about him, when you see the word of God say that Jesus is the King of Kings, it's because he was the biggest servant. He served humanity. Mm-hmm. And he served every single one of us with what he did on the cross. So I think, man, that's just a really interesting way that I did not think that you would go for there. I've never heard it put like that, but truly, I really think there are a few things, or maybe even nothing, that could be said that would be more true to say that, man, we that is an impossible without Jesus story for all of us. So I think that's great, man.
Yeah, and you know, there's other concepts too that what does it look like to live in the way of the secret society? How can we define success a little bit differently, and how can that shape the decisions we make, the path, you know, that we head down? And one of my favorite stories and leaders is a guy named Tim Cook, who a lot of us know is the CEO of Apple. And before that, Tim was COO under Steve Jobs. Well, Steve Jobs passes away. The person who'd been groomed to take over is Tim Cook. So here we are at the release of the Apple Watch. And it's a pretty big moment for not only Tim, but also the company as a whole. Like, this is the first new product in a new category that had been released since Steve had passed. And so Tim's on national television, and he's being interviewed by David Muir. And David asks him, is this the moment for you, the moment of your career at Apple? And just think about how you would respond in that moment. Here you'd been for decades under the radar. People don't know who you are necessarily or what you'd contributed. So you'd probably want to use it as an opportunity to let them know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, revel in the spotlight a little bit, right? Take a little bit of the credit. And it's not what happens. Is this the moment for you, the moment of your career at Apple? Tim says, well, it's a moment for Apple. I don't really think about myself that much.
Wow.
So how does somebody respond like that as their default subconscious response? That just came out of him. He didn't have to sit there and think about it.
Right.
That's just what he said. So he is learning to do that. And the way that he presents himself is, you know, with what I would call humble confidence. He's confident enough in himself. He knows the value that he brings. He doesn't have to remind us about it. He doesn't need to demand the attention and the recognition. He's confident in what he has brought to the table. But also, he's humble enough to know he in no way did that on his own. To launch an Apple Watch, would that take hundreds, if not thousands, right, of employees to pull that thing together, right? But when we think about how we show up, are we somebody who in a moment like that, do we need to take the credit? Do we need to actually not only take the credit, but elevate it. Wow. And just keep letting people know all that we've done. Or you look at a model like Tim Cook and be like, hey, look, he doesn't need it. He's just pointing that spotlight on somebody else. And it makes me think of, you know, Jesus heals somebody and he says, tell no one.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You know, so we live in this world that it is so almost necessary, if we want to feel like we matter and show up, that we need to let people know all it is that we're doing. And we're just craving this attention, this recognition. But it comes from a pretty natural place. Like, we want to feel like we matter.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So it doesn't come from a bad place, but it can become really unhealthy when it's almost as though we're demanding attention.
Wow.
Right? And so I just love that, where what if we can be people who actually don't have to get the credit? And there's a plaque that sat on Ronald Reagan's desk when he was president. And I actually have a replica of the same plaque that I put on my desk. It says, there is no limit to what a man can do or where he can go if he doesn't mind who gets the credit.
Man, so strong, so good. I think about, you mentioned Jesus there in that moment, and I think about the times where he would heal somebody, right? He would help a blind man to see, or help a crippled man, and then he would say something like, it's your faith that healed you. I think that's a really unique, hearing you talk about it like that, because like Jesus, not like he could take all the credit, but he invites us into the story and he makes our faith a part of it because of who he is. There's just something about leadership. There's something about humility there. Can you maybe riff on humility and confidence a little bit more and talk about, like, I don't know, how do you go about that? How does that surface in your life? You do strike me as a confident guy, but also, you know, I can tell that, like, like the way you speak about Donald Miller is just like, there's so much honor and humility there. So can you talk about the tension between those things, or maybe how those things just marry together?
You know, I think this plays out differently for all of us, just depending on where we're at. And, you know, let's just even take something that I'm doing at this very moment, which is I'm on a podcast to talk about my book. And there is this constant battle in my head around how it is that I'm going to show up. Because I think that there's a way that I can show up where at the end of this, I want you and everybody listening to just think that I am great. Right? Like, there, and that actually can seep its way into how I respond to some of these questions, how I talk about some of these things. But that spotlight mindset creeping in, right? That's the little whisper that just kind of can pull you off track. But what I try to practice and do and live out is one where if I'm doing my job well, I actually get out of the way.
Wow.
Because for me, I don't really care if people know who Tim Schur is. People can't even spell my last name. So, you know.
Now I feel guilty, bro. Keep going. That's so funny.
So, but if I'm doing my job, I get out of the way. People don't care who Tim Schur is. But I hope at the end of this, people just start to ask questions in their own lives around what success is for them. And so I think that there's a humility there in just realizing where know my role, right?
Yeah.
And so what is it that I get to do to make the life of somebody else's better? How can I operate with that who am I here for approach? And who I'm here for in this moment is you and everybody listening who maybe is hearing about some of this stuff for the very first time. And I'm doing my job if I've helped people realize, oh, there's this thing called the spotlight mindset. It's this unhealthy desire for attention and recognition. Oh my goodness, this is in my life more than I even realized. And then to help people start to learn what it looks like to live in the way of the secret society, to serve, to help somebody else win. And if I can help do that in some way, fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't care at the end of this how many Instagram followers I have, but everything in the culture, the society that we live in, these whispers keep telling me, hey, Tim, you need more followers.
Yeah.
But I just don't think that that's the voice of Jesus guiding me.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's the, hey, Tim, just keep showing up.
Yeah.
The rest will take care of itself.
As you spoke so brilliantly toward humility, when you're talking about confidence, I think that is even a huge piece of it as well, just to be able to say, who am I here for? And that plays, whether you're talking about like the room that you're in or even like a little bit more existentially, like who am I here on this earth, on this planet for? Like what has God specifically set before me to do? Pro tip, like little trick, that's always going to surface up in a way of service for those of you guys that are listening. Because Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, because he came to take on the likeness of a servant, and because it is our responsibility as followers of Jesus to try to become more like him, we will innately find ourselves serving the people that are around us. Even
on our healthy days.
On our healthy days, yes, yes. You know, when we're empowered.
We're living in that tension.
Right, right,
right. But that in our healthy days, when we're in a good headspace, that is how we show up,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
And I think that's the key, is when you have a confident idea of who you are here for, then I think it just empowers you to go in and do the thing.
In a clear definition of success.
Yeah.
What is success? And who is shaping that answer?
So good. Who is shaping that answer? It's like you've alluded to this, but like I think a lot of times in my life, for sure, I'm sure you've experienced the same thing, but it's really culture that's doing a lot of the shaping, or it's your faith and culture doing a lot of the shaping. And so it's being able to identify that and identify that well. Tim, I want to know, okay, because you've talked about like the secret to success, like defining success and all that. What does success look like for Tim? Like, what's it look like for you?
Yeah. So if I were to fill in the blank, success is...
Yeah.
You know, I would now say it's living in the way of the secret society.
Yeah.
Or just to simplify that even more, it's serving others. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
And to me, if I can do that, more often than I don't, I'm heading in the right direction.
Right. That's so good. So how does that, when you talk about, you mentioned that Michael Hyatt, tension between work and family and all that. Is there something concrete that comes out of that, or is it always just a tension that we want to win in both places?
So pretty often, when I am in the car, I'm listening to a podcast, and there was a particular day I was listening to a sermon by this guy, Jason Strand, who's the pastor at Eagle Brook Church in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And he's talking about something that I'd never heard of before, but I think it's pretty relevant to what we're talking about. He's talking about sheep bloating. I'm not a shepherd or a farmer. You probably aren't either, unless I don't know something about you. I should know.
No shepherding, so, no farming. No.
I had no idea what sheep bloating was, but in this particular sermon, he talks about how sheep, if left to their own devices, will actually eat so much that it can make them sick to the point of death.
Yeah.
So it's actually a shepherd's job, not only to take sheep from grazing ground to grazing ground, but to actually keep them from overeating. And you'd think that, you know, with sheep bloat, that maybe these sheep are eating poisonous grass or whatever, but that's not at all the case. And in fact, we're talking like green pastures everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's the job of the shepherd, if he sees this happening, to force them to lie down.
Oh.
So he closes this sermon saying, you know, so will you lie down or will you be forced to lie down.
Oh, come on.
And so here's this psalm that so many of us know. Right. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures.
Oh, man.
So the environment that we live in, how all of this marries together with that story that I shared about Michael and living in the tension between our work and our life and success, and it's really looking at our lives and making decisions and asking, will I lie down or will I be forced to lie down?
Wow.
Is it going to take a moral failure? Is it going to take a divorce? Is it going to take, you know, a health crisis for people to realize that they need to redefine success in their lives and change their behaviors? Or can we actually be proactive about it and lie down?
Yeah. Oh, man.
So I think that's what it looks like to live in the tension, is there's green pastures all around us, you know?
Yeah.
But I think there's an opportunity for us to self-reflect, think about our lives, think about where the spotlight mindset is creeping in, and choose a different path.
Yeah. Man, that's so good. I want to sort of land the plane here and talk about the book a little more, give you an opportunity to just tell us anything about it that you want us to know before we all go out and buy it and read it. Because you sent me a digital copy, and I must confess, I know that we're online. I haven't read it yet, but I really want to, and I plan it. I'm a reader. We're in the middle of, this will air. Well, I'm not going to, I have a little secret. I'm not going to tell it because I want to air this when you need it aired, not when I need it aired. But we're about to do something really amazing on our lives, and it just takes a ton of reading. So I haven't gotten to your book yet, but
it is all good.
I am like genuinely so excited to read it, especially after talking to you. Oh my gosh, man, you're a storyteller and a half. So I don't know, man. You either took some tricks from Donald, or he took some from you. I don't know.
I just watched him for 10 years. Like, I learned I texted him yesterday. I was like, I what a gift to get to sit right next to him for as long as I did.
Yeah.
I've truly learned so much. But thank you for saying that. It's very kind.
No, I mean it, man. I'm really excited. So can you tell us a little bit more about it? Is there a, when you say the secret society, have you done like a character study on some, not character, but like on specific people that, like, where did you come up with the title? How does all that play out?
Yeah. So the book really is just stories of people, some of which I've shared, you know, through this conversation, that have really just shown me a different kind of picture of what success can look like. And what's beautiful about it is, being in the secret society, it has little to do with your position on the org chart.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're leading a company or in a supporting role, whether, you know, you have no job at all, or whether you work from home, right? It doesn't really matter. What matters is, and what would allow somebody almost entry into the secret society, is just this posture, wow, how we show up.
That's great.
So are we going to show up? Learning to live in the way of the secret society looks like serving others, you know, helping others win. There's a lot of things that the secret society does that may be a little bit countercultural. So if anybody listening goes to secretsocietyfree.com, I actually give the first two chapters of the book away. Just put in your email address, and you'll get those chapters right away. But secretsocietyfree.com. And, you know, if there's a North Star for me as I was working on this book, and if there's a North Star for me as I think about, you know, how I want to keep showing up in my life, it's this quote. Albert Schweitzer said, "I don't know what your destiny will be. Some of you will perhaps occupy remarkable positions. Perhaps some of you will become famous by your pens or as artists. But I know one thing. The only ones among you who will be really happy are those who have sought and found how to serve."
Oh, man. That's so good. That's so good, man. I'm so excited about the book. Oh, man. Great storyteller. Good new friend, Tim, here. Thank you so much for joining us. You told us how to get the first couple chapters for free, but I want all of you to go buy this book. I think it would be incredibly beneficial to you. If only for the reason that, like, for what Tim just said, because I truly do believe that servants are kings in the kingdom of God. And I think that in so many ways, that is the key to be less self-absorbed, to that spotlight mentality that you have, and start focusing on the world around us and seeing. I have just noticed in my life, I know this is your book, but so not to steal your thunder here, but I've noticed in my life that when I start turning my attention to serving the world, that's when I'll find wind in my sails to actually pursue it and actually get to the places that I've been trying to go all along. So, Tim, incredible having you on here today, man. Thank you so, so much.
Ah, I loved it. So fun.
Well, I know for me, getting the chance to listen to somebody tell a story that is a compilation of so many other people's stories and the impact that they made. And then going all the way back to what you said, Jack, in the kind of the setup to this podcast episode about, like, this is the way that Jesus did it. I can't help but think how awesome it is when we're telling Impossible Without Jesus stories to look at a person who makes such great impact on others and comparing it to Jesus and realizing that even when we help others to reach the dreams that God has placed in their heart, it still always says more about who God is than who we are, right?
Ooh.
And what I love about that is when Jesus, the way that you know when Jesus is truly the one that's writing and unraveling your story is it will always say so much more about him than it will about you. And if that, like, so I love thinking of that aspect of, when you help people and when you see people succeed, are they seeing Jesus in their story, right? And that, so anyway, I think about that when I hear a person talk about the way that they've impacted others and the way that they've seen God and Jesus work those Impossible Without, his presence stories. And so that's kind of where my mind goes. So, like, what do you think about that, Jack? What do you think about that thought?
Dude, I absolutely love that. I think that's dead on. It really goes back to even something that Tim tucked away in that podcast, just to say that, man, at the end of the day, if it, like, his favorite position is to be in the unseen position, and the fact that, you know, he gets to serve alongside all of these people, I think you know, for Tim, you know, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but you use it like, man, what do people see when you're done, you know, with whatever it is you're doing? Do they see more of you, or do they see more of Jesus? And I think Tim would, you know, flip that. You could talk about it. You can talk about it vertically, and you can talk about it horizontally, right? The way that you just spoke about it was speaking about it vertically. Do they see more of me, or do they see more of Jesus? And I think one of the things that Tim explained so well when he was, speaking about this in the podcast was, you know, by the time we're done with whatever project or whatever thing or whatever dream we've been chasing, whatever thing we've been building, you know, do more people see me at the end of it, or do they see the people that we were working alongside? And so I think there's a time in our lives where we might be, you know, in the spotlight in certain situations, but it's really how we point to other people or point to Jesus within those circumstances that is what says a lot about our character. And Tim uses, you know, an example of, I forget the guy's name, just shows you, like, my entrepreneurial faults, but the CEO of Apple, I forget his name, but I just think Steve Jobs when I think of that, and it's not Steve. It's his project.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, but don't know his name either. So,
but yeah, I mean, he uses that example right there in the middle of the meat of the podcast, just to say that when he was interviewed about the Apple Watch when it was coming out, and he was saying, "Hey, is this like your stamp on Apple? Is this sort of your turning point or your thing for Apple?" And he just kind of was, you know, he puts it out there after that. He's like, no, this is like a moment for Apple. This is not a moment for me. And I think that says a lot about who we are. That says a lot about, you know, why we're in whatever it is that we're in for. And so just to put a little bit of handlebars on it for the people that are listening, you know, maybe just to do that investigative work on the inside, just to say, hey, what am I doing this for? You know, what am I doing that for? And I think sometimes, you know, it's impossible to always have the most pure motives for everything sure. that you do, right? We're not always going to be like, even me being a pastor, you know what I mean? Like that's like, you're a pastor too, Ben. But just to say that we're not always going to, you know, be in it 1,000% for people, right? Like, sure. you know what I mean? Like there are going to be times where we are selfish with our own stories and want to see, you know, things come about that may not have the best intentions, but at the end of the day, what is it really all about? And so to sort of turn that inwardly, like when you're working on a project, when you're work, you know, hanging out with your kids, when you're at church, what is the main thing? Like, what is the thing that you put in the spotlight with your life? And so I think that's really what I took out of the podcast today.
Yeah, well, and it's also cool thinking of things through the lens of impact and like just in general. Like when you look at impact as a filter, I remember there's a guy that is he feels like he's on staff here at Three Circle Church with us. He's not, but he's so influential in a lot of what we do. But he was sitting down with me one morning for coffee and told me that it's not always about all the different like things that you have your hands in, but like what levers are you pulling that are making the greatest impact?
Ooh, yeah. Right?
And so I had to do some like soul searching on what exactly that looked like. And the truth of the matter is when you're helping people accomplish dreams that they have and you find yourself feeling like fueled and motivated to do that kind of thing, it's clear to me that that is not you helping other people just follow the calling God has placed on their life, but it's you pursuing the calling he's placed on your life too.
Wow.
So it's a both and that's where it's cool is you do get to see neat things happen for others. And then, you know, full human being, full transparency, like the selfish side of me says, wow, I feel so fulfilled that I got to help somebody because of the way that I'm wired. And so like, it is kind of a neat thing, but at the end of the day, doesn't that just make sense about the way that God orchestrates things? Like, can't God make it a neat win for us when we yeah. fall? You know what I mean? Yeah. Now, granted, that's not always the case where like you can look at everything and be like, wow, I'm fully fulfilled and fully satisfied in every ounce of what I do. And so is the person that I worked with. But the truth is you can find yourself more fully satisfied and fulfilled if it's for sure rooted in what God's calling you to do, because that's where meaning, purpose, and fulfillment comes from in the first place. Right?
I think that's a really important distinction because there's like, I don't want to say a sect out there, but like there's a line of thinking, right, where it's like if I'm going to take on the likeness of Jesus, okay, then I have got to take up my cross and sure, that's true. But I think we associate that in such a way that it's like, okay, if I'm not suffering, then I'm sure. not doing it. Now, suffering is a part of it. It's sure. like you just mentioned. Sure. But I think the point being that when we're talking about wiring, and it's really exactly what Tim was talking about. It's about redefining what success is. Mm-hmm. Like if we are, you know, if we have defined success as something that is seeing the other people around us go after their God-given dreams and then being fulfilled by those things, I think that's just a really fulfilling life. It's the way that Jesus did it, and you know, and yeah, sure, that does require sacrifice. It does require suffering. It did for Jesus, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, he's alive, and we are. I know you're almost getting super theological, but he wins in that case too. For one, for being alive, claiming and taking the victory over death, but also taking us, his bride, as his portion. Mm-hmm. And so, man, that's kind of a really cool full circle way of talking about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and on top of that, I mean, success as it's defined to me biblically is the idea that it's God glorified, right? So,
yeah.
So, and it's cool because you can hear a person when they talk about something that they define as success. You can hear when God glorified is like top of the heap of their definition and when it's not, right? Even if they don't say it, you can hear like that there's something about that that's like, man, success to this person is God glorified.
Yeah.
And like making much of Jesus, right? And the cool thing is, like, I do genuinely think that when you find yourself in a place where you're helping other people chase down the call that God has placed on their life, that all you're doing for that person and for the people watching that person is you're helping that person realize what it looks like for God to be glorified in their life. And then you're allowing the people around them to see what it looks like for God to be glorified in their life. And so now, layer three of success is helping other people see God glorified in the life of the person that you helped, right? So then it's like onion layers and layers and layers of God glorified. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that, dude, like, success in that regard, like, you can put a period at the end of that sentence and it's like, that's it, right? That's success. As it pertains to the plan that God wrote our lives to fit, right? On a general, like, macro sense, you know?
Yeah, and gosh, like I feel like we're almost diving like real spiritual here, but it just I don't know, like part of me inside I'm like, oh, that just feels like such a contrast to the podcast that we just had, but it's also good, I feel like, because you know there was so much practical in the podcast. But what the way I think about what you just said is Ephesians 3:20 and 21, and the reason why is because first of all, like if you look at the preceding verses, it's about, you know, in verse 18, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. It's like, hey, we're in this together. Like it's a both and, like a us thing that we're going after. This, the verses are talking about power so that we may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. That's the internal, right? That's the us. But then how does that lived out affect the world around us? And that's an important topic. What are we talking about here? Rediscovering our world-changing faith that has implications for us and it has implications for the world around us. You see it here in verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. Why? To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. You know, at the end of the day, I think what you said there was super, that was just on point. Like, you know, you can, like, what rises to the surface of the motive that you have for what you're doing? Is it anything other than the glory of God?
Sure.
You know, because, and like I said, it's not that we don't all have selfish motives. I come on to you with this podcast at times thinking like, man, I wish this podcast would blow up. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But then I center back into realizing that like I get to tell people's stories and the kingdom is built. And those stories of those impossible without Jesus stories glorify the Lord. And it's within that power, experiencing the fullness of God together, that we impact the world around us for his glory. That's what those verses are saying. And so we experience immeasurably more because of the power that's at work within us when our stories are about and attached to his glory.
Yeah. It's almost like biblical community for the glorification of God and the edifying of the believer was God's idea or something.
Yeah. You know I mean, what a concept.
No, but so good, man. And I think that when it's done right, that's how you see like the power of God and the power of his spirit stamped on something is when you see those two things happen with like no question, right? Mm-hmm. And man, so such a cool thing to kind of chew on and think about as we define what it looks like to be successful.
We just went mega. Yeah, yeah. I'm all about it. Anyway, later, guys. That was like, we were like all up into some real rich theology, and it was like, what do we talk about after that?
you know? You don't.
All right. See ya.
Out.